All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, Brian Barone, SIUE Cougars out of the OVC up there in St. Louis. Brian, how have things been with you, brother, since the last talk a couple years ago, man?
It's been great. It's been great. Things are going well. We got a healthy wife and kids, and I'm healthy as a coach can be. So life is good right now.
Hey, we've been 4 years already, man, and since you've been SIUE. Can you believe it?
No, I mean, because, you know, those 2 years I don't even know what happened. I don't know what year was year. We had a game every other day for two straight years. You're just, you don't see people. You have masks on your face. You don't know you can't have pregame. You can't have postgame. You're just, next thing you know, 4 years later, here we go. So it's been a pleasure, though. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt. For you, how have you seen the program grow? Because I know, in jobs such as yours, SIUE, it's a developmental job. You have to rebuild that thing from scratch. So how has it been having an administration who understands, hey, this is a rebuild and give you time to switch your step on this program and look what it's doing now. 7-4 in non-conference play, top of the OVC. So it's giving you patience, let's do your thing. It's paying off.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just have to have people that understand, like, what has been done, you know, what has been done here before and what hasn't. And you know, you have to do things differently to get different results. And, you know, it's just from different things, from travel to how you eat, to how you train. You know, I always talk about, you know, if it affects winning and losing, you got to fight for it as you're building a culture and establishing a culture that hasn't really. Now, Division II, they've had a lot of success. You know, Coach Simmons was over at Eastern Illinois, is a heck of a coach, and he had a lot of success here in the past. So I do like the fact that there has been a winning tradition here at some point over the last, you know, over its time. The last 10, 11 years hasn't been quite as much. So what you got to do is you have to fight for the things that affect winning and losing while you're educating on the things that, you know, you want those luxuries to take that next step. And we've really focused on ourselves and our team and building the relationships within our team. And right now it's paying off. Right now it is for us.
You have a good mix, man, of younger and older guys, which is good to have this day where it's in, I would go all portal, all old all the time. But I do feel like you need to have some guys up in that pipeline to come up and get those guys experience. So when those guys graduate, you have some in-house without having to have a whole new team every year trying to get people chemistry come together every year.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, one of the things that I like really even when I got the job. So I, you know, you get the job as an interim. So that's, you know, got that stigma on you right away. You're going into someone's house and they're talking about like, are they invested into you? And, you know, is the administration invested. And, you know, fortunately, you know, they were, but initially it was, you know, it got a lot of it. Oh, can you see me?
I sure can.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, these computers, come on. I'm getting too old. It's my birthday in a few days. So, like, once I hit 45, I guess I'm not going to remember how to do anything at this point.
I was going
to
ask you about this. He took us my thunder, Brian. It's all good.
No, so, you know, when I got the job, one of the main things, and, you know, talking about Memphis, we were a little bit ago, you know, you get advice from a bunch of different people. Just go get older, win right away, establish. You know, I understand that. But I think in coaching, one of the two hardest things you got to do is you have to have that honesty within who you are and to your team. And you have to build genuine relationships. And you do that by sticking true to who you are. And, you know, I thought, like, you know, when we first got the job here, I went and got Lamar and Shamar Wright. And they were skinny, little guys that had a lot of talent. Probably weren't going to impact you from day one from a physical standpoint. But they were who I was about and they were what my vision was. And we've done a pretty good job of sticking to that. You know, the next year you get, we have a lot of players, but, you know, Rayshon Taylor, a local guy, again, a freshman, invested into this program. And every year I think we've had a good job of retaining guys while also adding in some transfers or junior college talent. And that's just what I know. And that's what I'm comfortable with. You know, I got into this business where it's all about building those relationships and having that family concept and vibe. And, you can't do that year in and year out with 13 new guys. Now, we have a guy, Jalen Hodge, who's a one-year guy from James Madison, who's impacted our program because he's our kind of guy. And so it's just you just got to balance it, I guess.
I mean, so he said something so great about fit, because I feel like it's the not talent might be, if it's not the right fit, it could ruin your chemistry. You know, being around the NBA, you know, and I've been on the NBA, we know a trade or a signing and does not mess with the chemistry of the locker room can wreck a team. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to accomplish together. So if that fit piece is so important when you try to go in that portal, find a guy to fit the program and what your vision is.
It is. You know, it's such an important – like, I was a transfer. You know, my dad was the head coach of Texas A&M. He signed me. I got him fired. That's on him. Like, he should have got a better point guard than me. But the so I understand there's reasons that guys are leaving and going. And, you know, it could be from, you know, maybe it wasn't the right fit for them at the place they were at. And, you know, one of the things I always talk about, like, I want to recruit guys and I want to show you how much I want you because of X, Y, and Z. I think you can fit in terms of our style of play. I think you're the kind of character we want. We need your position. But I also always tell them, I look across them from the table and I say, you know, I want you to want to be here as well. You know, for that, you know, I don't want to just convince you to be here. I want that relationship to be where, like in those dog days where we're looking at each other and you're wanting to like think of some kind of way, some kind of thing about me when I'm telling you to touch that line an extra time or two. We got to understand that the two of us chose to be here together. And I think that's part of that fit, you know. And you say about the NBA, like when the Grizzlies turned everything around down there, my dad and brother were down there. They went and got Tony Allen. They went and got Zebo. They had Shane Battier. They had a bunch of, you know, Pau Gasol before people knew Pau. Like those were guys that were establishing a certain kind of culture that they needed to be special with the Grizzlies. And even Jason Williams, how are him and Hubie Brown going to fit? All those kind of things. They were all the right fit that they were doing. And now they've, you know, they've kind of taken off in these last couple decades, obviously. And I think that, you know, when I was fortunate enough to see that kind of leadership in my own house on the importance of fit and the importance of culture, I'm trying to just mirror that here.
Crazy, man. Yesterday, seeing the pyramids in a Bass Pro Shop. That threw me off, man.
Yeah, they're right. I don't even want to hear that.
I was like, really? The pyramid where I should go watch games is now a Bass Pro Shops. I said, I can't go up there. I'm not doing that. I don't remember that for Grizzly games with Matt Devlin, Hershey Hawkins. I don't remember it for that stuff. Man. Not
the Hawk. The Hawk was my hero growing up because he was at Bradley when my dad was at Bradley. So Hershey was as class act as they come.
Yeah, man. Brian, I'm telling you, brother, yesterday I saw that, man. It hurt my heart when they told me it was a Bass Pro Shops, man. It hurt my heart to the core, man. But talk about this, man. Like, you know, the Hawks had we won an overtime against the Bulls. And it was a close game. It was all the young guys out there. Griffin, yeah. and Johnson was two young guys from Duke who got us to win on a great play drawn up by Coach Prunty. So talk about winning close games for your guys. You know, you can do it in practice, put time on the clock. It's not the same without a referee, without – you know, another team there, it's not the same. So how about winning close games, teaching your young men about executing that last 5 minutes of the game when it's really close. Because as you and I both know, this game's about possessions. It's not talent, yeah. It's possessions.
No, that's a great question. I think, you know, I'd be interested to see those guys, the Hawk, I wonder how many times they failed in some close games, you know, a year or two ago, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's, you know, we just had two close games this week against Missouri Valley opponents of Bradley and Illinois State, and didn't capitalize on some late game situations, put ourselves in position to win. I think it's a fine line of, you know, you have to understand, you got to go through some of that through experience. Well, how do you get the experience? Well, you got to be in those games. Well, then, you know, you then got to watch the film afterwards. You got to not just say, hey, we needed to execute better. You need to show them why. You need to show, you know, and it starts with myself. You know, I got to look at, did I have the guys in the right position? How much time did I spend in practice talking about these scenarios? And then you just got to continue to educate. You got to build them up throughout it. Because sometimes when you lose those close games, you want to, as a coach, it feels good to yell. It feels good to say we could have done this better. But if you make it critical in terms of how to learn, I think those games will eventually turn in your favor if you continue to be in those type of games.
No, Dad, I feel like film work is so important. You know, film work, getting out, because I've a lot of guys. I'm visual, Brian. I'm very visual, so I know when I play football, watching the film for me helped me seeing what defense do. So I got on the field, I knew how guy got leverage. They could play man or zone or combo or whatever. So for me, film work is important. And also, I feel like when a young man's IQ gets that mind IQ where you can kind of see before it happens. So I feel like a young man's really developed as a player. You really is really guy you can trust because you can do that mind interruption in your mind and get on the court and do it. It's like easy to you now. Oh, I remember this on film. Let's make it happen.
Well, and that's a great that's a big time observation, because what you do, you know, your preparation allows you to start have better reaction, in my opinion. So you go in there, I have 90 plays. I'm sitting there, and you know, you probably call like five of them during the game when it's all said and done. But you're always playing these scenarios in your head, and you're always, you know, what am I anticipating? What am I thinking? What do I see going into the game? And then ultimately, at that time, you have to react. So you just want to continue to be prepared through that film work, through the scouting reports, through just like talking and walk through. So then the player, like I always tell our guys, like, I can't do what you guys do. You guys are good, man. Like, you guys can hoop. I just need to put you in a position where at that moment you have been there before. You're recognizing it. And now let the player play. You know, if it's a reaction to kick to the corner or to put that shoulder down and get to the rim, I got to trust the player to do that. And it's sometimes hard as a coach because, you know, as many times as you want to be perfect and you want to say, oh, no, this is what we should have done. If you really look at it, there's a lot of times that a guy goes and makes a shot that I didn't draw, and they're big shots. And you just have to allow each other to kind of play off each other. But you do that through the preparation of film and scouting.
No doubt, and I'm seeing OVC standings. I mean, you for the most part, you all doing pretty good non-conference. You must be 500 or above. You're in Tennessee State or got above 500. Talk about OVC and the newcomers in the OVC there with Lindenwood, Little Rock, and USI are playing well right now. So you got a tough year in OVC. Look like up and down.
Yeah, I mean it's a big time league. You know, it's you know, the I've been in it now 5 years with as being an assistant as well and going on six. I think that the talent in this league, you look at the amount of NBA guys that are in there, just for lack of a better term. I mean, that's you see there's probably six or seven current NBA guys in the OVC right now. I think that, you know, you lost a few teams that people knew, but like Little Rock is always been very good. It's a very good program. USI is prepared to go to Division One. They have administratively and basketball wise, and probably all sports. I know basketball better, obviously. They're prepared to do it. Lindenwood is carrying almost 30 athletics programs, so they know what it takes to run an athletics program. And then you got Tennessee State, who's playing really. Yeah, I mean it's a league every night in a day in and day out. You're going to have some competition, and there's a lot of tradition and history within the league as well. And there's a ton of talent. There's a ton of talent.
No doubt. And I told people they'll be okay without Belmont and Murray. They'll be okay. Now, some rivalries went away, but the league's fine. Stan does a good job. So does Coach Kyle do a good job as well. And Darrell Walker, so who was down here at CAU for a little while here in Atlanta. So it's like, hey, and it's gonna be okay. And I see it. You know, I see the talent growing. And I feel like with the super seniors and a lot of the COVID year, guys a little bit older, so it's gonna be even more quality basketball. So it's like you all competing against Bradley and Illinois State being those games. It's not shocking because guys a little bit older right now.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's another great observation. I think, you know, with our team in particular, we really work on the relationships and the culture, and that's allowed our retention. You have two preseason all OVCs guys coming back for the first time in school history, that we've had that. We have a lot of, you got the Wright twins that are essentially four starters from the previous year, in some capacity. I think that's very important because I think, you know, the guys who are in the league, and the guys who have seen the league grow, within our team respect it. And they're like, oh, this is the right place. This is high level competition. You're treated well here. You know, coaches care about us. The players care about the coaches. You know, the way they treat my wife and kids is just a blessing to me. So I think that if we, you know, as teams and tradition, you know, continues to be built upon and looked at, you know, a team, the conference like the OVC, they've done a great job of marketing and branding ourselves with the, you know, the tournament where it is in Evansville, and they're doing it again these next few years. I think it's just we've really sustained what we've built on over the last several years.
No doubt, no doubt. What's going on the road? We'll be on the road in D.C. And in Miami when you all are in Evansville. So I can't go up there and see it, man, because I want to go up there and gamble. I told Stan, I'm like, Stan, I like to gamble. Evansville, I like to gamble, man. So when I come up there, I want to go to the casino.
Well, come on. You can come. You can gamble on a Tuesday some random night, too, and catch us practice and see us play Thursday. You name it. We got you.
No doubt, brother. And talk about you. I saw you sign two guys, man, Jordan Pickett and Ethan Yance. Talk about those young men. Which is how you see them in your program next year when they get to you guys.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that when I first took over, I really wanted to establish a better local presence, you know, presence in recruiting locally. JP Jordan Pickett is a big time player locally. I think he can come in and contribute from day one for a variety of reasons. He has the ability to put the ball in the hole. He also has a very good IQ, and his body is, you know, he's a big, strong kid already. So I'm excited about that. We've done a very good job locally, creating a buzz with the kind of guys that the community is used to. And then they also have to have the right kind of surroundings around them because there's a certain kind of pressure locally. And I think JP's definitely capable of doing that. And then Ethan Yancey, he's originally from Houston. He's out in the West, Western Kansas, playing one of the best junior college conferences in the country. Really has a knack to score. He's got good athleticism. That was a very big sign for us. Had a pretty high reputation and, you know, had a lot of options and really kind of fell in love with what we were, how we want. Again, that goes back to, I really wanted him, but he also really wanted to be here. So, to his credit and his surroundings, the people around him, they didn't want to look for the next thing. They wanted to look for the right thing. They felt it was us. So we're excited about those two guys coming in for sure.
That's one I want to wish you happy early birthday. Your birthday will be on Thursday. That's happy early birthday. So what is your plans for your birthday? I know you have a game on the weekends. What are your plans for that night with the wife and kids, man?
No, you know what? I have learned that my birthday doesn't matter anymore. And my birthday is more about what the four little ones want for my birthday. So we are going to definitely have some sort of cake that I'm sure one of my daughters is going to pick with a flavor. I get to go to, we're actually going to read at my kid's school. We're doing community service that morning. We're going to then go to the Christmas show. I'll have four kids singing. 8th through kindergarten. So that'll be about 2 hours of me sitting in, listen to a lot of glorious music, that evening. And I'll probably, hope to get them to bed and, maybe sit down and talk to my wife for about 10 minutes when it's all said and done, but I wouldn't have it any other way. That's what family's about on my birthday.
I got one more for you. Your birthday is 10 days from Christmas. So how was that growing up? Did you get shafted because it's so close to Christmas?
Yeah, you know what? It was, and my brother's is right after. It's December 31st. So he always had the, you know, he thought everyone was celebrating, you know, his birthday. It was really just New Year's. But the for me, I figured it out strategically. It took me a few years, but you go big on your birthday. All right. You go big for what you wanted on your birthday. You typically didn't get the big ticket item that Santa could follow up with 10 days later. But what you really did a good job of is you appreciated everything that I got on December 15th. You acted right. You were very graceful for everything. And then you just threw in there like, no, it's okay. I didn't get my remote control car. I got everything I wanted. And usually Santa stepped up about 10 days later, but I had to appreciate everything on the 15th, but it took me a few years to figure that one out.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad I'm in March. See, my mom is January 9th. So okay. My mom kind of, she said something, she said back when she grew up, she said, well, it's like, do you want this or this? She had an option.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you reestablished your plan of attack on, okay, this didn't work. Maybe I was like Ralphie in Christmas Story. You had to go after that Red Ryder BB gun the right way. And eventually that BB gun showed up.
Yes, indeed. We're Brian. Good to talk to you as always, my brother. Hope to see you soon. I hope look at the house kids. Hopefully I can catch you in Tennessee State or Evansville this year. We works out on off day football. So I'll be cheering for you as always, brother. I'm going to talk to you again, man.
Thanks. It's great. Thank you for having me. I always appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Anytime, buddy. Be safe. See you soon, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you.